We got chicken. Who doesn't like a good chicken? Apparently, a lot of people don't like chicken. Who likes any food?
Yeah.
Oh, so just these two up front eat. All right. Good talk. Who's not going to raise their hand regardless of what I ask? All right. At least we got a few on that one. Outstanding. My mom is from Southeast Texas. And so we lived there for about 9 years whenever I was a kid. And a crawfish bowl, and then they had boudin and things like that, was just part of the culture. Yes. If you've never been to a crawfish bowl, you haven't lived yet. I'll tell you that right now.
Amen.
It's nasty. No, you'd be amazed how good it is.
It is good.
Extremely good. And the seasoning, we're not making it all spicy. Just some of it's going to be spicy. Some of it's not going to be, for some of y'all that don't eat spicy food. I'm telling you, it's a life changer.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm surprised how many of y'all was not excited about the crawfish bowl. Be real honest with you. Real honest. So if you've never been, you ought to at least come eat food.
Yeah.
Even if you don't want to serve somewhere, please come eat some food. Because
yeah.
We really do have a lot.
Yes.
A lot of food. So y'all smile just one time. Thank you. Y'all going to be like this all morning? Huh? Amen. All right, we'll pray and get started. Father God, we do love, thank you, and praise you, and magnify your holy name. And I thank you, Father God, not my will, but I thank you, Father God, your will be done this morning. Not that what Ricky would have to say to this congregation, but what you would have to say for them through me. And I yield myself to it, Father God, right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father God, for it in advance. And I give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. Everybody agreed, said,
Amen.
Amen. We're going to be talking about the Lord can only take care of what you give him. Amen. Turn over to 2 Timothy, please, 1:7. Do we have the NIRV? Nope. Second Timothy 1:7. You got it up? You can pull it up in King James, that's fine. Second Timothy 1:7, it says, for God hath not given us a spirit of what?
Fear.
But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Right? Next. Be not thou therefore ashamed of thy testimony of the Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. I don't think this is right. I might have wrote this down wrong. I did write it down wrong. I don't know where it's at. My bad. But it talks about Jesus keeping us. Yeah. 5:7. No, that's not it. Man. Can't believe I wrote it down wrong. That's what you get.
It's okay.
So it talks about, it really talks, I'll find it later. This is why I shouldn't work out and take notes at the same time. So, but it talks about Jesus keeping us. And it talks about that that whatever we give to him, he's able to keep. I'll find the scripture for you after service. That way I can tell you. But it talks about he'll keep us, right? Because in the NIRV, it talks about, I know he is able to take care of what I have given him. So whatever we give him, right, he's able to take care of. But if we don't give him, consecrate our lives to him, he's unable to keep us,
amen,
right? In the BBE, it says, I'm certain that he is able to keep that which I have given into his care. All right. And then another one says, only what has been committed to God is what he is able to keep. Only what has been committed to God is he able to keep. Amen. See, if we commit our lives to the Lord, then he's able to keep us, correct?
Amen.
Amen. He is able to keep us if we commit our lives to God. Amen. Amen. And that's kind of in everything. In everything we do. There was this one missionary minister. He went on a missions trip overseas somewhere. And after he is there, like the government started, militia, that's the word. Militia was trying to take over the government. He said that all of a sudden, these guys just showed up at the Capitol and started just trying to take everything over. He said, so I grabbed my wife. I sent her to the airport. Couldn't leave. Everything was locked down. They locked everything down. And so she went back to the minister that they were staying with, the missionary. And he said, well, y'all come in here and let's pray. And so he went in there. And then that missionary told him, he said, thank God that y'all were led to come over here. He said, because since you were led to come over here, this is the safest place for you.
Amen.
Right now.
Yep. Amen.
But if you'd have just came over here on your own, he said, if you'd have stayed back home on your own, that's more dangerous than being that where God asked you to be.
Yes.
And he told him, he said, thank God you were led to be over here because this is the safest place you can be right now. Because you were led by God. God's not going to lead us somewhere that'll end up getting us killed.
Amen.
Hey, I should have heard a better amen than that. God's not in the killing business. And so we're going to go over some scripture this morning talking about that. Because a lot of times people say, well, God took them. Or, you know, God needed them in heaven. Why?
Right.
We need to ask ourselves this because it's been told throughout the years. People have said, well, God needed them more than me. Well, God took them. Well, where did we get that from? Who came up with God needed them?
Right.
You know, we need to ask ourselves this question, honest to God, because why does he need them in heaven? If that's really the case, why does he need them in heaven? And if he needs them in heaven, why doesn't he need me? I know it's controversial. I know it is. I get that. But it's things we need to ask ourselves. Why would God need somebody else more than he needs you? I thought he loved everybody the same.
Right. Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
I thought he did.
Yeah.
So if he doesn't, then that means he's a liar.
Yeah. Amen.
And why am I going to sit here and study a word of God that came from him if he's a liar? Why would I try to live my life based on the word of God if he's a liar?
Yeah. Amen.
Why would I even serve somebody that's a liar?
Right.
Why? What's the point in that?
Yeah.
So we need to find out, is God out killing people?
Right.
Yeah. Is he? And if he is, why is it just a few people?
Right.
Why wouldn't he just take us all home?
Yeah. Amen.
Right?
Yes.
Hey, amen. 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 Thank you, Steve. You're helping me. I appreciate it. Amen.
I think that verse was
12.
2 Timothy 1:12.
Thank you. I wrote 7, and I don't know why. Go over to 2 Timothy 1:12, please. Yes, you are correct. Thank y'all. I appreciate that. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet, this is no cause for shame because I know whom I have what?
Believed.
And am convinced that he is able to guard.
Amen.
Key word. He is able to what?
Guard.
Who's able to guard?
God.
What I have what? To him until that day.
Amen.
See, and so now I'll read these other ones. The NIRV says, I know he is able to take care of what I have given him. Have we given him our life?
Amen.
Amen. Have we given him our kids?
Yes. Amen.
Amen. A lot of times we try to carry that weight.
Yeah.
And it does us absolutely no good. The BBE, it says, I am certain that he is able to keep that which I have given into his care.
Amen.
A lot of things we want to worry about. We I don't know, some people grew up kind of worrying about things, so it's hard to get away from, but the Word of God talks too much about don't be anxious or have any anxiety about what?
Yeah.
A couple things or everything?
All things.
All things. So then I shouldn't worry about what?
Anything.
Especially if I've given it to God. You
yes.
know, amen? And then the other one, it says, only what has been committed to God is what he's able to keep. I love that one.
Yeah.
Only what I commit to God is he able to keep.
Yep.
Amen. Amen. Turn over to, turn over to Lamentations 3:22. You can pull it up in the King James, please. If someone dies, here's a question. If someone dies, it should never be, it was their time.
Amen.
Because how long has God given us to live? Amen. Go over in Psalms. You need to read over there because it talks about he entrusted or gave us 120 years to live. So if you want to live to 120, you can.
Yes. Amen.
And it also talks about to whenever you die, be satisfied.
Yes.
Once you're satisfied, then you can go home. He never talks about dying with sickness or disease. Because then why would Jesus come to the cross to take away the sicknesses and diseases if God is trying to put sickness and disease on people?
Right.
That's about the most craziest thing I've ever heard.
Right. Yeah.
Some people say, well, God put that on them. Time out. Let's regroup for a second. Because I thought he sent his son to die on the cross for sickness and disease.
Yeah.
So why did he take all those stripes, all that punishment, being nailed to the cross just for God to put a sickness on me? About the most asinine thing I've ever heard. It is. Let's just be real right now. Let's talk about it. Because people are talking about, well, God put that on them. What? Why? Why would he put it on them if he sent his son? His son. Not somebody from down the street, old JoJo. It was his son. He took the stripes and disease. They plucked out all the hairs on his face.
Yeah.
Do y'all understand what Jesus went through?
Oh, yeah.
If you don't, go watch The Passion.
Right.
That'll help you get a realization of it.
Yeah.
And Jesus went through all of that just for God to go, you got cancer.
Yeah. No.
No.
Nope.
No.
It don't make sense. Because Scripture does not teach that Jesus took all the sickness and disease so that God can give whoever he wants sickness.
Right. Yes. Amen. That's right.
Amen. All right. So are then some people say, well, God just needed somebody in the choir. I'm pretty sure he's got a great choir right now.
Amen.
Amen. God needed them more than we did. I have a hard time with that one too, because look at babies. You're telling me God needed a baby more than the mother and father did?
Right. Amen.
What kind of God am I serving then?
Right. Amen.
What kind of God am I serving then?
Yeah.
To say things like that. And that's what gets people turned off of God.
Yes. Amen.
Well, if God's going to just take my kids, why would I want to serve him?
Yeah. Amen. That's true.
The question we need to be asking ourselves was, why wasn't God able to keep them? Why wasn't God able to keep them? Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all doing all right? Okay. Amen. We got a little ways to go. So what does the thief come to do? Turn over to John 10:10, please. Kill, steal, destroy. Amen. Go over to John 10:10. Pull it up in the Passion, please. I'm just going to kind of go slow this morning. Amen. I don't believe we're going to get through all of it. So we'll probably pick this up. A thief. A what?
Thief.
Amen. Is Jesus or God a thief?
No.
So for me to say that he took my kid, he took this person, that sounds like somebody stealing from somebody else, to be honest with you. A thief, and for somebody to say that, honestly, don't know the character of God. A thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, and then what?
Slaughter
and destroy. But I have come. Who's talking? Who's that?
Jesus.
So who was he talking about at first?
Satan.
Who was it?
Satan.
It's got to be Satan. Because why would he start off talking about a thief does this, and then he says, but. Look, here's some bad. I know he's come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give you what?
Everything.
So why would he be talking about himself at the beginning if he says, I'll give you everything in abundance, but at the beginning, it talks about a thief?
Right. Amen.
Amen. That does not sound like God at the beginning, because God said, I'll give you everything in what?
Right.
Abundance. So why would he give me everything in abundance? Just to take it.
Right. Amen. Amen.
Come on. Why?
Yeah.
Come on. Everything in abundance. More than you what?
Expect.
Life in its what? What is life in its fullness? But we need to ask ourselves that. What does life in its fullness look like? Being at the hospital all the time?
No.
Being sick in bed all the time?
No.
Not having enough money to pay any bills? Not having enough money to allow my kids to have fun in life? Being able to take them on vacation, buy them new clothes at the beginning of school year, things like that? Does that sound like a fullness of life? Sometimes, to be honest with you, it's easier just to hear things and do nothing about it.
Amen. Yes, sir. That's right.
Amen. It's easier to hear things and then do nothing about it, but just kind of settle with what, okay, well, yeah. I guess that's just my lot in life or whatever.
Amen.
I guess that's how we're just going to live. I hope we do good. Life in its fullness until what? And it's not just in its fullness, but it says till it what?
Overflow.
See, an overflowing life. An overflowing life. That's why Jesus was sent to the cross and to die, not just for our sins, but disease and lack, right? So that we could live in an overflow life, so we don't have to live in depression, so we don't have to live in defeat, so we don't have to deal with lack. So we don't have to deal with anxiety. So we don't have to deal with worry. So we don't have to deal with just things in life that show up sometimes. Because if we live in victory now, then even though tomorrow comes up with something bad, I can still live in victory tomorrow, regardless of what shows up. Hallelujah. Turn over to Matthew 8:14 in the King James, please. Did I say 18? Sorry, 18, not 8. I apologize. I just realized what I said. I turned to 8:2. I thought it was funny. All right. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that what?
One of these little ones should perish.
Well, God needed them more than me, said who?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, God needed that baby more than me, said who?
Amen.
Because if I'm in the Word of God and I see this, even so, it is not the will. So what's the will of God? Well, here's a great example. It's not the will of your Father, which is where?
In heaven.
That one of these little ones should what?
Perish.
Die.
Yep.
So that should let us know right there that when things go on, it's not God's will that even little ones should perish.
Amen.
Amen. Turn over to Luke 9, please. Luke 9, about 52. Luke 9:52, it says, and sent messengers before his face. And they went, and that was Jesus, and entered into a village of the Samaritans, right, to make ready for him. Jesus, correct? Next, please. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. Next. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, will thou that we command the fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did?" Next. "But he turned and rebuked them and said, Ye know not what manner of spirit," what?
"You are of."
That's interesting. That's interesting. Because they're talking about, look, they're not accepting us. You know, the Samaritans didn't like them at all. They just had a thing going against them. They hated each other, right? And so they were like, they didn't accept them. So they're like, James and John, like, "Hey, we'll just call fire on them, kill everybody." What did Jesus say? "All right, let's get together. Hurry, let's do what we got to do real fast. Just take them all out." Why not? Because nowadays, if people were talking, that's what would happen.
Yeah, amen.
But yet Jesus didn't say, "You don't." Did God tell you that? He said, what did he tell them? "You don't know what?
What spirit you are."
So for him to say that, you think they're yielding to the Holy Ghost?
No.
Why?
Because God doesn't do that.
God doesn't, but this is destruction.
Yeah.
This is death.
Yeah.
Amen.
Y'all all right this morning? I know it's a little different,
amen,
but we still need to hear it. Amen. And so he told them, he rebuked them, said, "You don't know what manner of spirit you are of. You don't know what kind of spirit you're yielding to right now."
That's right.
Talking about killing these people.
Amen.
God sent me here to save people, and now you want to kill everybody.
That's right.
You don't know who you're yielding to right now.
Yep.
And it's interesting that they kind of got into their feelings a little bit. They allowed these people to get on their nerves and to get them so upset, now they want to kill everybody.
Yeah.
It's interesting whenever we get over into the flesh and start in our feelings.
Yes, amen.
That things will come out of our mouth that we'll have to repent of later.
Yes.
Yeah. Come on.
That's right.
It's easier just to keep your mouth shut a lot.
Yes.
Amen. Still learning that. We're getting better at it.
Yeah.
Amen. Go over to Genesis 1:33, please. Genesis 1:31. I don't know why I keep telling y'all the wrong numbers. We're going to get there. Amen. Here it is. "And God saw everything that he" what?
"Made."
"And behold, it was" what?
"Very good."
"And the evening and the morning" were the what?
"Sixth day."
"Sixth day. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was" what?
"Very good."
Y'all know this is before Adam and Eve ate of the apple?
Right.
Y'all know that, right? Because over in Genesis 3, it talks about when they ate of the apple. So for God to say that everything he's made here on earth is good, I just have to have a tendency to say, okay, I agree. Everything was good, and I understand the curse came because Adam and Eve sinned, right?
Yes, amen.
So everything was good. And then go over to Genesis 3, please. Let's read that. Well, we ain't got time to read it, so I'm just going to tell you. Turn over to Revelation 22:1. Adam and Eve, obviously they sinned, correct? Go over to Genesis 3. We better read it. We better. Go over to Genesis 3, please. We need to get our eyes on it. We'll read about... Man, yeah, we ain't going to make it through all this. It's already 11. So we might as well just start it. We can read it. Yeah, we can read the whole chapter, huh? Yes. All right. All right, let's just read it. "Now the serpent," that was Satan, correct? "Was more...
subtle.
Yeah, than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of which of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you what?
Die.
And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, that your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, right? And they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree? Wherefore I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat. And the man said, the woman, the blame game, right? Could just take it and say, yeah, I messed up. Wanting to put blame on people. I'd be cautious of blame people.
Yeah.
I wouldn't run around with them too much. Because next thing you know, you're going to be the problem.
Yes, sir. Amen.
The woman whom that, unless you are the blaming person, the woman who thou hast given to me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon the belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and upon thy seed and her seed, and it shall be bruised the head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. We'll just stop there. Y'all can finish it later. Amen. So at the beginning, God said everything he made was what?
Good.
Pull that back up, please, that verse. And it's interesting that after they ate of the tree, now God's talking about the cursed.
Yeah.
The ground is cursed. Childbearing, things like that are cursed. See, this is when the curse showed up.
Yep. Amen.
Once they bit of that apple of the tree, that's when the curse showed up.
Yep. Amen.
Because at the beginning, what did God say? Everything I made is what?
Very good.
So was there sickness and disease at the beginning?
No.
It wouldn't be very good if it was, because what does sickness and disease do? Well, the things we need to ask ourselves, what does sickness and disease do? Well, it'll rob you of your money. Y'all remember Matthew 5, the woman with the issue of blood,
yep.
It took all of her living, right? And she grew better, but none better, but
worse.
Grew worse, yes. Son, I almost could get that out. Amen. And so it sounds like sickness stole all the money and happiness from her. So for God to say that he created everything in the beginning and it was good, I don't know how people associate sickness with good. Well, God put it on them. You ought to read this book. It's called Hints and Helps to Bible Interpretation. This guy was a Hebrew scholar, and he taught a lot of colleges. I'm still trying to find the book, actually. I found some papers online what he talked about, but he said, you know, it's interesting in the Old Testament. He said the English, whenever they were scribing it, that they didn't scribe it correctly. He said that they made it in a causative sense. They didn't have the words, so they made it in a causative sense instead of a permissible sense. And so whenever you start reading it like that, talking about God put sickness on these people, that's the causative sense.
Yes.
See, they didn't have the right words and things for it. And so it's actually that he permitted it.
Yes, amen.
They did something and God permitted sickness and disease.
Yes.
Permitted it. He didn't cause it. Because once again, you got to think on your own. Don't just take my word for it.
Yes.
I should have heard amen over that.
Amen.
Don't just take what I'm telling you. Get the word and look it up yourself.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. But why would God put sickness and disease on me and send a son to die on the cross, but yet sickness and disease he still puts on me?
Yeah.
That just does not work with me. Me personally, it came with you if you'd like. You got to get in the word and figure it out on your own. Amen.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost will help you if you ask him. Amen. But I can't correlate God and sickness in the same sentence.
Right.
I can't. Because God is good.
Amen.
He gave me life to have it to the full, to the overflow.
Amen.
And for me to be sick and not doing awesome and this sickness trying to steal all, or my kids being sick, what kind of craziness is that?
Yeah.
And why am I serving a God that just made my kid sick?
Right. Amen.
Why don't he make everybody's kid sick or everybody's mom sick?
Right. Amen.
Why is it just chosen ones? How is it chosen? Does he just put everybody's name in a like a little raffle box and just pulls a name out and says, "Ah, they're going to be sick"?
Right. Amen.
How are we choosing who's sick and who's not then? I mean, these are things we got to ask ourselves. They really are. Why, and not only that, why would I serve a God that I don't know if I'm going to get sick or not? Why would I serve a God that did that? And for God to be a good God, and a thief is Satan, which I know a thief is Satan, correct? A thief is who?
Satan.
Sickness and disease. Moving on. Amen. Where are we at? I don't remember. Go over to Revelations now. Go over to Revelations, please. 22:1. So we just saw that Genesis 3, that's when the curse showed up, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. 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 So Genesis 3, that's when the curse showed up, correct?
Yes.
Because that's the first time God talked about the curse. Cursed is the land. Cursed is childbearing and things like that, correct?
Yes.
Did he ever talk about it before?
No.
Because he said, once I've created the heaven and earth, and everything is what? Cursed?
Good.
So how did we go from good to cursed? What happened there? See, these are things we got to study. We got to look it up. We just saw it. Once they ate of the tree, that's when the curse showed up, correct?
Yes. Amen.
Amen. 22:1, yep. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the Lamb, out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Next, please. In the midst of the street, on either side of the river, life bare 12 manner fruits, yielding fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were the healing of the nations. And there shall be what? And there shall be what?
No more.
But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. So there shall be no more curse. Where's the curse at right now? It's here, where we're living. See, a lot of times people say, well, they're sinning. That's why, I wonder what they did to be sick. That's what a lot of people say sometimes. Well, I shouldn't say a lot of people. I don't know. I know I've said it before, so I'll talk about me. I know about me, right?
Yeah.
So I've said, well, I wonder what they did to get sick. Well, number one, the curse is on the earth.
Yes.
Satan is out to kill, steal, and destroy. You ain't got to sin to for sickness or something or calamity try to show up at your house. The curse is here on the earth. Amen. The curse is here on the earth. Amen. Y'all should really study this out, okay? Because y'all are looking at me real weird. But the curse is on the earth, but the curse does not have to affect us. Because of Psalms 91.
Amen.
Amen. We'll get to that after a little bit. If you look at Isaiah 2:6, during that one it says, therefore has the curse devoured the earth.
Yes. Amen.
Isaiah 24:6 says, therefore has the curse devoured the earth. That's interesting. Then Zechariah 5:1, it says, this is the curse that goes forth over the face of the earth.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And then we know where the curse came from. Adam and Eve. That's where it showed up at. Adam and Eve, they sinned. We get that. And then if you look at John 9:3, real fast, please. Excuse me. John 9:3, it says, Jesus answered, neither hath this... Well, go to verse 1, please. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man, which was what?
Blind from
where?
His birth.
From his birth. Next, please. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but the works of God should be made manifest in him. And that's where some people say, well, see, God put the sickness on him just so he could get glory. What kind of twisted God are we serving then?
Right, amen. Amen.
He said, neither this man nor his parents. Look at Romans 5:12 real fast, please. Romans 5:12. Y'all still glad y'all came this morning? Look, if y'all try to jump me, I'm ready. No, I'm joking. Wherefore, as by one man, what?
Sin.
Wherefore, as by one man, sin, what?
Into
the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon who?
For all men have sinned.
Right? So see, sin, who was the one man? Sin entered into the world. The curse.
Adam.
Because see, God gave Adam dominion over the face of the earth. Y'all remember that? That's why Satan wanted it. And that's why he showed up. That way he could have some kind of authority. Now that not the earth, the world system. Because the earth is whose? The Lord's and the fullness thereof. The earth belongs to God. Satan can't take over it. But the curse is here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. And we got to know how to use our authority against the curse.
Yeah.
Right? And so this right here tells you, you know, like my sister, y'all remember, the doctor told her, well, your baby's going to be deformed this way and that way. I don't even know if I'd let it live. That's what they told her. And so she called mom. Mom said, we don't believe that. And now my niece is, how old is she, 15, 14? And just wide open all the time.
Yeah.
Did she sin? No, she didn't sin. But the curse is here on earth. But if you don't realize that, and people start saying, well, God just had some reason why he did that, that would get me to questioning, why am I serving a God like that then?
Yeah.
Why would I want to serve a God that I might get sick or I might not? My kid might die or it might not. Why would I serve somebody like that? I might as well just continue and serve Satan over here on this side.
Right. Amen.
Because the same outcome over here on Satan's side.
Yeah.
So why live for God then?
Yeah. Yep.
And that's how people just get to thinking different, right?
Yep.
Yes. Amen. I agree. Let's turn over to Psalms 121 real fast, please. Can you pull that up in the Amplified, please? I will lift up my eyes to the hills around Jerusalem, to sacred Mount Zion and Mount Moriah, from whence shall my help come? Right? My help comes from who? Satan?
The Lord.
The Lord, who made what? He will not allow.
Amen.
He will not allow your foot to slip or to be moved. He who keeps you will not what? There was this lady. It was back in World War II, I believe, something like that. They were over there bombing. And so whenever the alarm would go off, everybody would run to this bunker. And there was this older lady up in her 70s or something like that. She got to know this younger couple. And so they would always kind of meet at the bunker when the alarm went off. Well, one day the alarm went off and this lady never showed up. And so that couple was like, well, maybe she didn't make it. You know, she is older, living by herself. Maybe she didn't make it this time. Well, later on, they saw her walking down the street or something like that. And they was like, hey, we thought you didn't make it. Where have you been when the alarm goes off? She said, well, I read in the Bible where it talks about God never slumbers nor sleeps. And I figured, why am I going to stay up? He can take care of it for me.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
All right. He will not allow your foot to slip or to be moved. He who keeps you will not what? Slumber. Next, please. Behold, he who what?
Israel.
Israel. Ain't got time to go in that. You ought to study it. I believe it's over in 2 Corinthians. It talks about the church is called Israel now. Amen. Will neither slumber nor what?
Sleep.
The Lord is your what? Y'all seeing the keeper keeps word ever over and over and over? The Lord is your shade on your right hand, the side not carrying a shield. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by what?
Night.
The Lord will keep you from all what?
Evil.
He will keep your life. See, that's why it's so important to be led by the Spirit of God on the inside of you. Amen. That word right there, keep, in verse 7, if you look it up in the Hebrews definition, it refers to a hedge. Where have we heard that from?
Amen.
Job. Job talks about, Satan said, well, you've kept up a hedge around him. Y'all know why that hedge came down? Because he got into fear. Because he said, how did he say it? The thing that I feared the most has come upon me. And what was it? He kept sacrificing for his kids thinking that they sinned. Out of fear. Well, maybe they did something wrong today. I'm going to go sacrifice for them.
Yes.
Yep. Amen. And so that's how the hedge was being able to be Satan get in. Yep. Amen. It also refers to a fence or a perimeter enclosure.
Yes.
Amen. I love that. And also, this sounds just like Psalms 91.
Yes, sir.
Don't it?
Yes.
Amen. Have y'all ever read Psalm 91? Let's go read Psalm 91 then. Y'all all right?
Yes, sir.
I need to make sure. I need to keep checking on y'all.
Amen.
Amen. I know this is a little different, but it helps us. Amen. We need to really ask ourselves the correct questions.
Yes.
Sometimes.
Amen.
Amen. He that dwelleth in the secret place of what?
Most High.
Shall abide under what?
The shadow of the Almighty.
Shall abide under the shadow. This is like a force field.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Whenever the Israelites put the blood on the doors at the beginning, what happened? Remember he said, y'all spread the blood of the door because the death is coming around to kill?
Yes,
y'all remember that?
Yep.
So what happened whenever they put up that blood? He couldn't enter. He could not enter. Could not enter. Amen. And so whenever you dwell in the secret place of the Most High. You shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's a great place to be.
Yes.
Amen. That's a great place to be.
Yes.
Amen. The destroyer wasn't allowed to get in. Next, please. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I what?
Trust.
Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the what?
Noisome pestilence.
He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and what? Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. But it shall not, what? Can you pull that up in the Amplified, please? A thousand may fall at thy side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Only a spectator shall you be yourselves inaccessible in the secret what? As you witness the reward of what? Only a spectator shall you be. Whenever things start going on, next please, we'll continue, then I'll talk. Because you have made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your dwelling place. There shall no evil befall you, nor any what?
Plague.
Or come what? Or your house.
Yes.
Amen. That's why whenever COVID and everything broke out, it doesn't have to affect any believer.
Right. Amen.
It doesn't.
It doesn't. Amen.
Amen.
The word is true.
Either the word of God is true or it's not.
Amen.
Amen.
I'll tell on me once again. I know me, but I got out from underneath the shadow of the Almighty at the very beginning, and I actually got COVID at the very beginning.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. You don't know why? Because I talked against somebody. I did. And so I messed up. And you can't be talking about people and expect the umbrella of the shadow of the Almighty to overshadow you.
Yep.
You can't. So once I repented, got straightened back out, we was fine.
Yes, sir.
And so we continued on again. But I love how it says that 10,000 shall fall at thy side and 1,000 at the right hand and all this, that means that an atomic bomb could go off and kill everybody around you and you still be the only one standing.
Amen.
That means that somebody that's wanting to blow up stuff can blow it up, kill everybody around you, and you remain the only one standing.
Amen.
That means that sickness and disease could run rampant through a place and affect everybody, but you be the only one standing.
Amen.
Y'all remember John G. Lake, whenever that, what kind of flu was that? That went through that he put on the microscope?
Plague.
Yeah, it was the plague. Bubonic plague. Y'all ever read about that? He was over there praying for people and things like that because that bubonic, however you say that word,
yeah,
went through. And he told him, he said, it ain't going to affect me. I'm fine. And they're like, no, we can't let you in. He said, all right, look, get the disease, put a drop in my hand and watch it underneath the microscope. So they did that. As soon as that disease hit his hand, the plague, it died and dried up immediately.
Amen.
See, do we know where we're at, or do we know our authority, or don't we?
Yes.
Amen. I understand the curse is here and it's prevalent. Satan is here to steal, kill, and destroy, and I understand that, but I have authority over him.
That's right.
I have authority over him.
Yes.
I know God is good. God's not putting nothing on me, because why would I pray to God, God, take this sickness off of me, or God, I thank you I'm healed if he's given me the sickness.
Right. Amen.
That, another, I don't understand that one either. Why am I praying, thinking, believing God for healing if he put it on me?
Yeah. Why go to the hospital?
Well, I mean, why would God put something on me and then ask me to believe him for it that I won't be sick?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, yeah, moving on. Yep. Just, I don't get it. Maybe you do. Amen. I know you don't. I'm just playing. Next, where are we at? Well, verse 11. For he will give his angels a special charge over you to what?
Company and defend.
And preserve you in all what? But look at this part. Of what?
Obedience and service.
Of what?
Obedience.
Obedience. See, are we doing what God asked us to do?
Amen.
Are we doing what God asked us to do?
Amen.
Because, see, there's normally things that we have to do to be able to line up to the Word of God.
Yes.
Amen. And here it talks about, you know, he'll give his angels charge over you, accompany you, defend you, and preserve you in all your ways. And I'm a living testimony to that. Because when we was over in Iraq, the second time, we were doing patrols. And y'all know what IEDs are, obviously. They talked about them so much. Y'all know those Christmas tree lights that they twist like this, and then there's one light? Well, they got smart, and so they'd hook that up. They'd pull the light off, get the bare wire on this side, and get the bare wire on this side, and pull them apart, and just lay them across the road and hook them up to the IED so that all the metals just has to touch and ba-goom, right? And so we're patrolling one night. I'm out in front. And so I'm strolling along. I really wasn't paying attention to the ground because I'm out front. I'm wanting to know if somebody's here, not right here, right? That's just me. I should have been just kind of doing both. But I was walking along, and then I heard my squad leader hollering at me like, Reggie, you know? And so everybody's being crazy. And it was me and another guy up here. I was like, what are they talking about? What do they need? Everybody's over there. So we walk back over there. What? What are y'all doing? Y'all know we're patrolling right now. Y'all acting crazy? Y'all trying to get us in a gunfight or what? You don't see what you just did? No, I don't. So they shine the light, and I just walked over that Christmas tree light twice, me and that other guy. All I had to do, me or him, was step on it. And that would have been the end of all of us. Yeah, I mean, I got stories after stories of that over in Iraq. This other time, they told us, we're going to go take this hill. And that day, I actually said, all right, God, here I come. This is it.
Yeah.
I'm about to die because this gunfight that's going on over here probably ain't making it out. I remember it to this day, man. But we got over there, and thank God we just went through and wrecked shop. And obviously, I'm still alive.
Amen.
I really have story after story of God just keeping me.
Yeah.
Keeping me while I'm over there. You know, and before I left, my dad asked me an important question. He said, so how do you, like on your spirit, man, are you good with this or not? Should you join the military or not?
Yeah.
I said, yeah, I'm good about it. I am. I don't feel a check about it or nothing. So I knew I was being led, doing what I needed to do. Amen. But whenever we have checks about stuff, and then we go, it'll be all right. We'll do it anyways.
Yeah.
And then something comes up, and then we go, God, why'd you allow that to happen?
Yeah.
Well, that's why he checked me before I even left.
Yes, amen.
Yes. Amen. Got to be led. Amen. So we'll stop, because if y'all keep looking at me like this, I'm running. Amen. I'm just playing. Y'all okay this morning?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, we'll probably finish this later. Amen. Well, Father God, we do love, thank you, praise you, magnify your holy name, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Ghost that you sent to lead us and guide us and help us, the comforter, the advocate, the standby, the helper. And I thank you, Father God, we are led in our everyday life, and we understand where sickness and disease comes from. And so I thank you, Father God, we also understand the authority that you gave us. And I thank you, we're able to take authority over situations. We're able to take authority over sickness and disease and command it to assist and desist in its maneuvers, either in our body or in our family's bodies. And so we thank you for it, Father God. In the mighty name of Jesus, everybody agreed, said, amen. Amen.